The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is made possible in part by our friends at Wizards. I know it sounds like all official and stuff, but hey, it is. It's true. Those of you in Midtown or those of you in Memphis know what I'm talking about. It's a Midtown establishment. It's on Madison Avenue. Been there for many, many years. 1999 Madison Avenue, open 7 days a week. It's probably open right now, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And of course, you can shop online anywhere from anywhere here in the U.S. Look for wizardsmemphis.com or look for their banner ad at our website at radio-memphis.com and get yourself a groovy lava lamp. Plus, if you plan on making a physical appearance in the store, tell them you heard this ad. Tell them you heard it on Radioland or from Radio Memphis, and they'll knock 20% off of your purchase. It's just that simple. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Last week, we were talking a little bit about the media, the news media, the conspiracy that is the media. It's not. There's nothing conspiracy about it. It's just, that's just the way it is. But, or go back and refer to last week, if you'd like. This time out, but I made a mention in there about reality television. And I don't think we've ever really addressed it, and I guess probably for good reason. I don't care about it. I know some people do. Some people really think it's the, you know, it's the thing. It's not. There's nothing to it, I don't think. It just doesn't seem to, I don't know. It doesn't satisfy my intelligence. It doesn't satisfy my interest in watching, you know, that sort of content. Especially competitive. Well, most reality TV is competitive, but you know, you look at these shows and you wonder, you know, who's really watching this religiously? And you meet people every once in a while that do, and they go crazy. They go nuts. They're absolutely out of their minds for these shows. And it's worthless television, but people do watch it. You know, I made mention of America's Got Talent, and my wife, of course, is a big fan of the show. And she'd had it on the DVR for a while, and I recently sat down and watched the final episode of the season when the little girl with the ukulele won it. Spoiler alert! Not that any of you people care, but you know, hey, that's the deal. And so she asked me about. She was not very happy the fact that she'd won it. She was like, I don't know, 9, 10, and she gets $1 million paid over 40 years. No shit. 40 years, you got to get that $1 million. Plus, she gets to headline a show probably at the Hard Rock in Vegas. Fantastic. You won the competition. You did. They make it sound like you have come all this way, you've got this talent, and you know, and they own you for a while, you know, in essence. And thankfully, she's got time on her side because she's a young kid, but she's probably peaked. But she does her own original material, which I find, you know, pretty good. But I had predicted that she was going to win it a long time ago. And of course, you know, Josephine's like, what makes you think she's going to win it? And I said, well, because that's what they want. They're trying to go after that young demographic in their audience, so they're going to make a kid win this thing. That's how that works. Oh, bro, this sounds like a conspiracy. Maybe it does, but it's not. It's a fact. Nothing on television occurs without some sort of script in place. It's seriously, whether it's live or not, most of it's not. It's been taped. But nothing in this happens without some sort of plan. They have to do this because they own you as an audience that way. They're not going to have something completely unscripted occur where they cannot control the outcome or the process by which this thing flows. And as such, when that does happen, it becomes, you know, formulaic because it's the same people all the time that are writing this stuff, that put it together. The competition shows, the, you know, all the what's the one, the dating game copy of the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. Those horrendous shows. And it's as fake as it could be. Dancing with the Not Stars is another one. It's It's all in the fix. But see, here's the thing. I know a lot of people go, well, you know, they encourage you to text your favorite, you know, when you're in a show. Yeah, that's to give you a feeling that you're in part of this thing. You get to vote on your favorite contestant. That's all part of the ruse. They don't give a shit what you like or don't like. What they get is immediately how much interest is occurring right that moment. That's what they can do. That's what they can go back to their advertisers with. And if it sounds like a paranoid conspiracy, it's not. It's just a fact. There's nothing to be paranoid about. It's just a fact. The reality drama type shows, that's another one. The Kardashians, although I understand that it is in hiatus right now, like permanently, because it may be that Kim Kardashian faked her robbery. There's been a lot of talk about that on both sides of it. It wouldn't shock me that she did. You know, she's looking for some television exposure and stuff like that. People are tired of that shit too. But that show, I've actually watched about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of it. And it is devoid of anything. I mean, there's nothing there. Seriously, there is nothing there. It's rich people bitching about first world problems. And it kind of angered me there for a while because I was thinking, you know, well, goddamn it, I don't give a shit about these people at all. I have no vested emotion into any of this. I could care less what happens to those people. And yet they've got several television shows and it's all perfectly marketed and polished and everything that goes with it. And I was trying to explain to the wife about the fakeness of it. And she's like, well, it's not fake. And I said, please, whose house is lit for television that way? Really? Let's look at the reality of this, the real reality of it. There's a crew in their living room. There's a couple of camera people, a sound guy, a director, a producer, a writer, a makeup person. They're all just hanging out in their living room. And you're just supposed to ignore all that shit? What the hell is wrong? The story is created by, I mean, it's scripted. It's not like somebody sat down and printed up a script, but there's an outline. There's that going on. There's somebody sitting there going, okay, Kim, here's what we're going to do. We want you to have problems with, I don't know, you've got loose bowels and you're pooping yourself every time you sneeze. And we're going to go there. And now, Chloe, I want you to react with a complete disinterest every time Kim sneezes, because she's just going to shit herself constantly. And you know, we're going to make a show around that. That's really what that was all about. That sums up every episode. I don't know that if Kim or Chloe has a loose bowel problem. I don't know. Guess what? I don't really care. These are people who don't understand what it's like to live in the real world. This is why I don't particularly care for shows like that, because there is a certain disconnect. It's like when you go, let's go back to the talent show thing. America's Got Talent. The concept, of course, stolen from the Gong Show, but they put on this air that anybody could make it and become a champion and become a success in show business by skipping the whole paying of the dues part. What's sad is I've seen people that I know that are on this show trying to win these things, and they are on their way out of the business for whatever reason or another. I saw a magician that I've met, a guy that I know. He was on the show. Of course, he didn't win because it's not what they wanted. And they know that. Every one of these fucking contestants know this shit. They know who's winning and who's losing. They know all of that. It's the whole point. There's a guy that I know, a local singer here in Memphis, who has been approached by the people that run the show The Voice. I'm not going to name any names here because it would be grossly unfair. And he's not here to explain it. But here's the thing. They called him. He didn't call them. The Voice calls him. And they want him to compete in the show because they want him. They were going to let him win it. They flat out said, we're going to make it to where you win this show. And he said, I don't want to do this. And he was smart, and I'll tell you why. they sent over this contract to him for him to get involved in. It would have taken about, I think he said it was like 7 years of his life, which means that everything that, even after he'd won the show, won the grand prize, whatever the payoff was, he would have to give these producers 7 years of his life's work from that day forward, which is basically the prime time of any artist. So 7 years. His work wouldn't belong to him. And he said, he flat out told these people, go fuck yourselves. I don't know if that was a direct quote, but that's, you know, something along those lines, I'm sure. Because he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to sign away his likeness. He wasn't going to sign away his voice or his work or anything like that just to be on some stupid TV show that means absolutely nothing to anyone. I went to the auditions. We were hired by, Radio Memphis was hired by, I think it was America's Got Talent. And it was American Idol. That's what it was. It was, they had auditions here in Memphis, which seemed logical because there's a lot of, no, it was America's Got Talent. That's what it was. And they came in and they asked us to come do a remote from the audition place, which was now at the convention center, and which we did. And we were, you know, promoting the fact that they were looking for people to come in to, you know, perhaps be on the show, and that there were several producers there that were basically the talent scouts. And what they did is they gave you a number, and then they would call you in one at a time, and you went into this room, or there were several rooms going, but you know, you could audition, you know, for a chance to be on the show. And there were people that I know that went to this thing because, you know, they felt that they had a shot. And these are very talented people, by the way. These are people that I know that I've worked with. They are talented. I've seen their work. They're good. They're good musicians. They didn't get picked. They didn't get picked at all. And they were upset because they see the shit that goes on the show and wins. They're looking for really, really bad people, that which is cannon fodder. Or they're looking for somebody who's really, really good that has the potential to be that look that they're going after, you know. So, who do we want to win this season's America's Got Talent? And somebody in that boardroom is going to sit there and go, well, I think we need an 18-year-old Hispanic woman who can play the maracas with her ass. Maybe that's the winner. I don't know. But that's how they figured that out. So then they go out and they look for that. They have that sort of formula laid out. They're going to be looking for these particular standouts, or they're going to hunt them down if they don't come to the audition. We know that for a fact, that they do that. And it's the fix. But see, people that watch these shows, as I'm not trying to sway you from it by any means, if you like watching them, watch them. I just want you to understand that what is happening is a complete and total fraud, and you don't care. That's fine. That's the whole point. These people, they don't care if it's rigged or not. They want to believe that it's real. They want to believe that dreams can come true. As I told one of my friends that was auditioning, and she was a little not really upset, but she was a little put out that they didn't, you know, at least give her a shot at the television part of it. She said, I don't know why they didn't pick me. And I said, I'll tell you why. You didn't have an interesting story. They don't give a shit what you can do with a guitar and your voice. They don't care about that. Okay, what they want, they want to hear you tell the story about how you are, I don't know, a single mom living in a dumpster who eats cat food every day. That's what they're interested in. There's nothing more than that. There's not a they want a humanistic story. They want, because they know people are going to sit there on their couch stuffing their faces full of ice cream, and they're going to be watching this thing, and they're going to go, oh, I feel so sorry for her. Oh God, I hope she wins. It's that emotional investment. That's the gold. That's what they're wanting. Because then when they go, well, we'll find out after all this drama, and then they go to a commercial break, they're advertising more ice cream to your fat ass. That's the point of the show. You know, they have these judges. They have four judges, which seems odd because there's not a, what if two don't like it and two like it? I guess they have some rule. I don't know. And the buzzer thing, they don't ever really hit that. Once they get past a certain number of rounds, they just quit using that damn thing. And then they added the one where the gold one, you push it, and everybody, or that person goes all the way to the semifinal or whatever. And they've added all these twists to these stupid rules, and that's what, you know, that's what they do. Now, American Idol has gone off the air because I think people have finally caught on that it is pretty much garbage. You know, there's a couple of people that have all actually gone on to make a career out of it, I'm sure, but they've had, what, you know, I don't know, 8 or 9 years with this stupid show. And enough is enough. No one ever goes. It's like The Bachelor. Anybody who's ever won that competition ever stay married? What if they don't want to get married at all? They're only in it for the money. And apparently all the free ass that they can pull down during that show, during the taping of that show, they're banging like rabbits in there. But that's just it. We are forced into these, what seems to be these uncontrolled scenarios on television that, oh, it's anybody's guess what's going to happen. You know, and you watch some of the Americans. I will say this too about America's Got Talent. They bring out some of these, acts and you go, well, shit, that belongs in a circus. And then you look at the person who's performing the act and they go, well, shit, that is a circus performer. Well, I bet he got fired from his last gig, so he's looking for a circus to get into, and he thinks he's going to win $1 million, paid over 40 years, and go headline an act at the Hard Rock, which is kind of odd, because what the hell is a chainsaw firing of a juggler going to do for an hour on that stage? It's silly, I know. But that's the reality TV we have been spoon-fed and told that we have to watch. Why, I don't know, but I guess, you know, it boils down to so many things. The audience being exposed to advertisement is a big thing, and audience participation, which keeps them there, so they get it's everything for them, because they get to sell the ads at a premium price. They get to measure their audience on an immediate scale, which is something television doesn't really do that well. It's getting all this information that they can turn around and make money off of, because that's how this works. Those shows pull in a bunch of money, and that's what I laugh about, that the grand prize is $1 million, paid over 40 years, and they make that in a week. They probably make that in the first half of the show with all the advertisements that they sell for that. So they're really kind of a tightwad type deal. You know, and you know, they get to play a headlining act at the Hard Rock. I can make that happen for you. You got some talent? I can put you on a stage at the Hard Rock here in Memphis. You want to do that? Let's do that. it's so it's, you know, I'm not going to give you $1 million, paid over 40 years, but that's just it. Speaking of, I now I've got to figure this out, because the idea that ridiculous prize is so. It's so silly. That's $25,000 a year for 40 years. So you can basically not live on that. That's, you know. But they get to keep the interest. You don't. It's an annuity. And you can't, unless you call, what's that group? I Want My Money and I Want It Now. Those people, they take 65%. But you'll get your money after their 65% cut. That's how that shit works. No, I don't think so. So really, you know, you got some TV exposure out of the deal. You got the hearts of all the fat people that are watching it on TV going, oh, we really like her story. We hope she wins. Maybe she'll be able to not eat cat food for the night or something. You know, that's what it boils down to, and it's really, I find it, and this is the hard part, this is the difficult part, the serious part of all of this, I find it deeply insulting to actual entertainers. I really do. There are people out there that have a lot of talent and a lot of ability to do what they do on a night by night basis, and you see these humps on this show, and it's like, oh my God, I'm now a big celebrity, I'm a star. And then what's really sad is when you see them come around to some of these festivals, they go, well, you know, here's Bob. Bob's going to come sing a country song to you, and see, Bob, he was a finalist on America's Got Talent. Well, that's when I leave the room, because I don't give a shit. Bob may have some talent, but he pissed it all away by going on a fucking show that way, because you just lost my respect. I know it sounds harsh, but it's true, because I know so many people that have worked so hard in show business that every time they try and get ahead, they wind up getting knocked back by, because this is a tough business, man. Show business is not easy. Whatever part you're in, whether it's, you know, being a singer, an actor, God, making movies. I've done this because I've made a couple. I've been in a couple. That's probably one of the single most boring things you can do with your time. It really is. It seems like it's all fun and, oh, it's glamorous. Hey, you lucky stiff, you got to go make a movie. I was bored. I think I read, like, the last picture that I was in, I actually sat and read an entire book over the course of a weekend because I had to be there waiting for, because it's a hurry up and wait game and it takes fucking forever and it's boring. It's fun when the final product is out, but, you know, such as it is, I wouldn't choose that as a career. That's for sure. I you know, the films that I've done, apparently I'm in IMDb, so you can look it up. There's some moments to it that are kind of fun and somewhat pleasant, but most of the time it's not. It really isn't. This is why I do what I do. I'm in the ass end of show business. I've worked very hard to get to this level. I know it. Wow, you really worked this hard to get to this? Yep, I sure have. And there's people that have worked harder than I have that haven't gotten this far. And there are people, there are musicians and singers who work very, very hard just to get a weekend gig, you know? And then someday, then it happens. They get a record deal, or they write a song and they make a record that makes them a lot of money. And that's remarkable. That's good. Because they have spent their time in the trenches. They've been ripped off by club owners. They have been ripped off by other musicians. They have been stabbed in the back by God knows whom. All the drama with the bands. I have all of that shit. They've come through all of that. That's the reality of it. It's the same thing with the stuff that I do. I know because I speak from authority here. I have 30 years in this business. How many times have I been stabbed in the back and had my shit stolen? Oh, man, there's no greater prize than having your stuff stolen. And I'm talking about your content, your ideas, the things that you do. Fine, if you think you can do it better, knock yourself out, you know. You're just going to look like an ass for doing it. You know, I'm working on something right now that is kind of different. And I don't know how well it's going to go, but I can guarantee you this. If it goes moderately successful, you know, because you got to try everything. You got to try something, you know. If it gets moderately successful, somebody's going to steal it. They go, oh, he did it. I can do it too. Here we go. They're not going to add any new twists to it. That's why all those fucking shows are the same, you know. One of my favorite shows that ever existed was The Mythbusters. I loved that show. I actually absolutely adored that show. I felt like I was learning something. And as such, toward the end of their run, there were other shows that were just flat-out copies of it. But they were horrible. They were not done right. I mean, it's we're going to remake it. You can't just remake that shit. It doesn't work. Remakes hardly ever do very well at all. So you've got reality shows that come out. Next thing you know, there's a copy of it. And they're copying each other. It's incestuous. I know. You have people that are professional reality stars, right? They get on these shows, and they go from show to show to show to show. Yep, that's what they do. That's what they do for a living. And now, that we used to think that was just the scum of show business. But you know what it is now? It's the YouTube people. It's the hump sitting on the foot of his bed, and he's running his mouth about something that nobody really understands. About how cool he is, because his mother makes pizza rolls for him every time he's up in his room, and he's talking about his Lego collection. And he goes on and on and on about it. Gee, bro, you're sort of doing the same thing with your little podcast. It's your cute little podcast. And that's something else, too. The word podcast, I'm getting tired of it. I think I'm going to call it something else. I don't know yet. Podcast just sounds sterile. Podcast sounds very remedial. It sounds like that's what the rookies are doing. Hey, bro, have you checked out my podcast, man? Oh, it's great, man. I got 20 listeners off my first two episodes, man. Be lucky to make it to 15 before you blow your brains out. That's how that goes. Christ almighty. I just worked myself up into another lather.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
They are looking at trying to wrap their heads around all this. Where do I fit into this media? Where do, you know, where's my consumption coming from? As long as I have Netflix, I'm good to go. As long as I can watch, you know, the shows, my stories, I'm good to go. It's because of the selfishness of our people right now, which we all are as humans. We are incredibly selfish. And how that affects me as that selfish person, because really I'm the center of my own universe. That is the thought that I get from a lot of people. Oh, I'm the center of my own universe, so fuck you. As long as I get what I want and I get to watch what I get to watch and I get to say what I get to say, whether you like it or not, then I'm good to go.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
It always happens. You go to some guy's house for a party, right? And all of a sudden, some guy pulls a guitar out, and everything stops because we got to hear what this guy's doing. And you're sitting there going, man, I wish I could play guitar. Well, you can. There's various ways to do it. You can go to a music store and actually hire a teacher to teach you to do that. And then you're locked into a every Wednesday at 3:30 type thing for a half an hour. I got to go listen to this guy, and he's going to teach me scales and stuff. Or you can do it in the privacy of your own home. That's correct. The New York City Guitar School allows you to do just that with their video teaching deal there, and you can get lifetime access for $89. How about that? Less than $100, you can get all the lessons that you can imagine. So if you want to check it out, find their banner at it, radio-memphis.com. It says guitar lessons, learn to play the guitar. It's all there. Click on it. They even have a free video for you to check out to see if this thing is even right for you. So you can learn to play the guitar and learn to play in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Find it at radio-memphis.com. All right, speaking of guitar, I got some music for you. This guy here is fantastic. He's been in our studios before. He's an absolutely delightful guy, and we actually have a live recording of him from the fourth volume of the North Mississippi Hill Country Picnic, the 10th anniversary show. And his name is Kerry Hudson, and Kerry's been in a ton of stuff, and this song is absolutely wonderful. It was captured live performance on 2015, the summer of 2015, and it is really, really, I love this song. The more I hear it, the more I really, really like it. And it's just a fun, sweet little song. It's called Guard Your Heart. Here it is, Kerry Hudson from Radioland.
What a cat took in. Hello, my friend. Pull up a chair, sit and visit a while. Tell me where you've been, about the places that you've seen, why the sadness behind your smile. Did you travel far by train and plane and car? Did you find a treasure that you seek? Or did you lose your way? Well, tomorrow's another day. You can lean on me if you're feeling weak. For every mile of road is 2 miles of ditch. I keep your head on a swivel. Sometime life's a bitch. Oh, when it comes to love, hard to be smart. Don't lose your head, darling, guard your heart. Digging deep, go without sleep, searching for gold in the bottom of a big dark hole. When you're tired of pleasure, you'll find a greater treasure waiting on you deep inside your soul. Satan says, come follow, he's flipping a silver dollar. But you can't eat money, baby, you can't buy love. Came from the stars, but didn't get here in cars. Earth is a mother, father is up above. Forever mile of road is 2 miles a day. ditch. Thank you, Wallace. I'll keep your head on a swivel. Sometime life's a bitch. And when it comes to love, ought to be smart. Don't lose your head, darling, guard your heart. Ditch. I keep your head on a swivel. Sometimes life's a bitch. Oh, when it comes to love, hard to be smart. Don't lose your head, darling, guard your heart.
Isn't that great? I love that song, man. Kerry's a great guy, too. Just a very talented dude, and just a lot of fun to be around as well. If you get a chance to go see him, I highly recommend it. Kerry Hudson from the North Mississippi Hill Country Picnic from the summer of 2015. And guard your heart. All right, kids. I'm about done. You heard what's coming up next time on the old program, and such as it is. Watch what you're watching on television. If I have any advice to give you, I mean just go with what you want. I mean, obviously don't let me sway your opinions. If you like those shows, knock yourself out. That's great. Just understand what it is and how you're being manipulated, because that's how it really boils down to. All media is basically manipulation. It's to play with your fears, it's to play with your emotions, it's to play with, you know, your actions. So you know, knowing that going in, it's like, hey bro, you know, wrestling's real, man. Yeah, wrestling is real. Yeah. All right, I'm done. I'm out of here. We'll see you next time. So until then, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other. Right? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.